Amateur Traveler, episode 156. Today, the Amateur Traveler goes to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Learn about the food, the festivals, and some authentic seaside towns in and around Puerto Vallarta today on the Amateur Traveler. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get into today's interview, I do have a couple news stories for you. The first news story catches me a little bit by surprise, and I don't know if you've noticed, but even though it appears that the U.S. economy is in the shambles, the dollar is actually gaining value. So if you're in the U.S., your ability to purchase things in England or Europe, for instance, has improved over the last 3 months. And if someone has an explanation for that, I'd be glad to hear it. The next story is also a good news story. Disneyland or Disney World would like to host you on your birthday for free. Just follow the link in the show notes to find out how you can register to get free admission into one of the Disney parks on your birthday in 2009. And then in a story that's more like news of the weird, a man who missed his flight to Oktoberfest decided instead to take a cab from Portsmouth, England. That is a 750-mile taxi ride, and it cost him about $3,000. He must like his beer. For links to all those stories, go to the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Robin Noel, who's come to talk to us about Puerto Vallarta in Mexico. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Now, Robin is going to be the author of the next version of the Moon Handbooks. So you're down in Puerto Vallarta right now doing your research, as I understand.
Yeah, actually, well, I live here full time, so it was a perfect opportunity for me because I already know the entire area. So it's really just a matter of getting out there and getting the details of all of my favorite places and updating some of the standards that stay in the book.
And we should point out what kind of a sacrifice Robin is making for us here. She's turned off her fans so that we don't have fan noise. But how warm is it in Puerto Vallarta right now?
It is hot. It's like Africa hot here. It's probably in the high 80s during the day still, and it's still very, very warm at night. So we have about another 2 weeks of hot, hot weather, and it'll start cooling down and get into that perfect winter weather that we love so much here.
Well, so that's what I was going to ask first is, what is a good time then to visit?
Well, the most popular time is the high season starts mid-November and it goes to mid-April, ends just after Easter. And that's when the majority of people come. November and December are beautiful here. I mean, we're talking, you know, low 80s during the day and nice and cool in the evenings, like a light sweater cool. But summer is also actually an excellent time to come. It's hotter, but it rains every afternoon for a couple of hours, sometimes in the evening to cool things down. And everything is a lot cheaper here in the summer.
Okay, summer's off season then. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And what led you to Puerto Vallarta?
Actually, Puerto Vallarta was entirely a logistical decision. I knew I wanted to move to Mexico, and so I visited the Riviera Nayarit area, which is north of here, and then the Cancun Playa del Carmen area, the Yucatan, and Puerto Vallarta just made sense because it's got a great international airport. It's inexpensive to fly in and out of. And my family's mostly on the west coast of the United States, and so it's an easy direct flight right up to San Francisco, L.A., Portland.
Okay. I didn't know if you had just missed your cruise ship connection, had been abandoned there by Carnival Cruise Lines or something like that.
No, no. Actually, I was considering that in Cozumel, but they make sure you get back on.
Okay. If someone had a week or 2 weeks to see Puerto Vallarta and that area, that part of Mexico, what would you recommend? What kind of itinerary would you suggest?
I would recommend a few days in Puerto Vallarta and experiencing, we have the Malecón, which is the seaside boardwalk, and spending an evening there. And a lot of people don't know that Puerto Vallarta is a very foodie gourmet town. And We have probably the second largest selection of gourmet restaurants in Mexico, second only to Mexico City. And there's a lot of really fun events that happen annually here. If you have a couple weeks, I would definitely rent a car and head either north or south along the coast because it's really an amazing drive. Up north, you get the jungle. On the south, you get a lot of the foothills of the Sierra Madres. You're going to find a lot of really small, beachy, authentic Mexican towns.
Okay. So let's talk about those first few days first with Puerto Vallarta itself, and then we'll head north. So you mentioned the pier,
the Malecón.
The Malecón. Tell us a little more about that. What kind of experience are we looking at there?
Well, most Mexican seaside towns have a Malecón, a boardwalk area, and Puerto Vallarta is no different, but ours is lined with some really beautiful and famous sculptures. And so, in my opinion, the best time to go is at night because there's a lot of vendors out. You've got the artists on the beach doing incredible sand sculptures, like just amazing detail.
Just every day sort of thing? Or?
Yeah, every day. I don't know if it's all year, but definitely during the high season, all of the sand artists are out there and they make these amazing homages to the Virgin Guadalupe. They do just incredible, incredible art.
Interesting.
There's the food vendors, which you can't miss. There's the crepes and the churros and the tacos, and the street food in Puerto Vallarta is awesome. And you've got jugglers and clowns, and there's the Los Arcos Amphitheater where they do live music, and it's a really fun sort of carnival atmosphere.
For music, are we talking mariachi music?
A lot of times it'll be mariachi or banda music. The banda music is very similar to polka.
Okay.
It's regional to Jalisco, which is the state that Puerto Vallarta is in. They'll have more popular musicians out there. Sometimes they'll have a synthesizer out there and they'll be covering popular music of the day and selling CDs, or you might have some flute players or whatever. It's just sort of a free-for-all.
Okay. And you mentioned street food. Anything particular to Puerto Vallarta, or just the same fare we would find in much of Mexico?
I'd say it's pretty standard. Okay. I'd say the Tacos al Pastor is probably one of my very favorite street foods, and that's the sliced pork, and it's on a rotisserie, and they carve it off with a little bit of roasted pineapple that's on the top with some cilantro and onions, and that's really, really excellent. And then, of course, there's the crepes, which you can't miss the crepes, and they do a lot of cut fresh fruit with chili powder on it. Coconut and chili powder and lime is really, really good. You wouldn't think so, but it is.
Interesting. And then you also mentioned the food scene in general in Puerto Vallarta and all of the restaurants there. Anything that is a don't miss as long as we're there for that 2 or 3 days?
Well, Barcelona Tapas is my very favorite restaurant, and it's the tapas style Spanish type food, and it's up on the hill and it overlooks the entire bay. And if you can get a table at sunset, it's an incredible. The food is incredible, the view is incredible, and the service is incredible. But I'd say if you're going to plan a trip and you're really into food, then there's two times to come. And that's November, which is our international gourmet festival. And we have chefs from around the world come in and they guest chef at the local restaurants. And they do wine tastings and cheese tastings and all kinds of events all week long. And then May is a great time, as that's restaurant week. And that's when all of the restaurants have special one price menus for several courses. It's a very inexpensive way to try a lot of the really, really nice restaurants in Puerto Vallarta.
Okay. Anything else we should see in Puerto Vallarta before we head north?
I hate to recommend it because zoos really make me kind of sad, but the Puerto Vallarta Zoo is really, really awesome. At the beginning of the zoo, you buy a bag of food for $5, and basically you feed all of the animals at the zoo. And on the bag, it tells you what type of food goes to which animal. And so the animals are in these really like lowered type of pens. You can pet and feed almost all of the animals at the zoo. The monkeys and the giraffes and the hippos and the black bears, everything. And then at the restaurant area, you can actually, you know, pay an extra $10 or so and play with a lion or tiger cub and get your picture taken.
Okay. Now, one of the questions you've listened to a couple shows that I usually ask is, what do the guidebooks recommend that are a waste of time, or what do the guidebooks miss or the tourists miss? We're sure that the 2009 edition won't have anything missed and will cover everything that it needs to. What will be new? What do you think needs to be in there in the 2009 that's not in the current edition?
The growth of the area has just been amazing. And so when Bruce Wipperman, who wrote the last edition, was here, and there was just so many restaurants and whole areas and towns that hadn't really even been developed because the writing obviously happens the year before the edition.
Right.
So it's been almost 3 years. So a lot of the towns to the north have just developed into these really burgeoning communities, and things come and go. There's the old classics that are kind of in there, the restaurants that Lapu-Lapu and Lake Cliff and things that have been around for a long time, but there's so much new stuff. The possibilities are really endless. So unfortunately, some things will be missed.
Sure. Any recommendations on a place to stay, a real Puerto Vallarta not-to-be-missed place?
That's a tough one. A lot of people like the big resorts, and there's certainly plenty of those to choose from. There's some real nice ones, and you can get some really good package deals. And, you know, there's smaller bed and breakfast type places, but the majority of the beachfront properties are going to be the bigger hotels. I would just really recommend, no matter where you stay, don't ever do the all-inclusive, because you're really cheating yourself on getting out there and experiencing the authentic Mexican food and the local restaurants and the local flavor. Just don't limit yourself.
Okay. And is Puerto Vallarta small enough that we're walking to get around, or what's the mechanism for getting around in Puerto Vallarta?
Puerto Vallarta is very long and thin because it butts up against the Sierra Madres. And so a lot of people will book a trip and stay in Nuevo Vallarta and think that it's in Puerto Vallarta when it's actually 10 miles away. And so most people will take cabs and always check with the concierge at the hotel how much the cab is supposed to cost and negotiate your price before you get in.
And then you mentioned getting north.
Yeah, actually, there's some really great towns, and you can still find some sort of authentic Mexican seaside towns if you head north. But there's a great little town just north of here that's very popular, especially with Canadian tourists, called Bucerías. And I lived there for a little while, and it's got some beautiful beaches and nice restaurants. And then you head up towards the surf towns, which is Punta de Mita, which is very upscale, and Sayulita, which is more sort of like artists and surfing. And from there, you head up the coast, and there's San Pancho, which is San Francisco, it's called. And that's another more upscale community. And then you start heading up, and there's Lodomarcos and La Panita, and there's some really great, cool towns up there. They still things to be discovered.
And the northernmost of the towns that you mentioned, how far away are we from Puerto Vallarta? How big a region are you talking about?
La Panita is in a different bay. That is, without traffic, about an hour, 15 minutes north.
Okay. Any historical sites in this area that we should really see for those of us who are big history buffs?
Oh, that's not a good question. It wasn't that long ago that there was really nothing here. I mean, it really started in the 50s with the Night of the Iguana, and then the movie stars coming down in the 60s. And so when you think about Puerto Vallarta in terms of growth, it's really only been like 30 years, 40 years that the town has exploded.
When you first moved down there, what was the biggest surprise?
Everything. I was completely unprepared to move to Mexico. Despite all my research and all my traveling, I really did myself a disservice in not being fluent in Spanish when I moved down here. But it's really hard, I think, to get fluent if you're not immersed in the culture. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty set on not being a part of the expatriate community as far as like living in a gated community and being in the thick of things on the gringo side of the highway. I wanted to live in an authentic Mexican neighborhood. And there's just things you can't predict. I've had some run-ins with some neighbors in some neighborhoods where it was really my first experience with racism, where they were like, why are you here? You need to go back to the other side of the highway with the white people, because we don't want you here. And then the neighborhood I live in now is entirely Mexican, and they just are so nice and friendly and amazing that it's really interesting to see the different types of neighborhoods and the different types of people.
Interesting. If someone were going to go down for a longer term, learning the language as much as possible, what else you wish you'd done before you'd gone down?
Initially, when I moved down here, I rented a place online so that I had a place to land.
Sure.
And I wish that I had done a little more research on that, because I think you can do that and do it for the shortest amount of time possible, because you will always find a better deal in person than you will online. For example, the first place I stayed at was in San Pancho, and I was paying $700 a month for this house. And now I live out in this Mexican neighborhood in a beautiful house for $300 a month. But you really need to be on the ground and in person to find the good deals.
Now, are anything like that available sort of for short term for somebody who's more interested in an immersive experience, but only for a few weeks rather than a resort experience, for instance?
there's a lot of like condos and small houses, casitas that are available that are furnished. And obviously, you know, furnished in Mexico means something different than furnished in the United States and unfurnished. Unfurnished in Mexico means nothing, no appliances, probably no outlets in your house.
Okay.
That's really like no hot water sometimes. I mean, it can get kind of rustic. So you definitely be looking for something furnished. And there's a lot of good deals, especially in the low season. After April and before November, you can find some really good deals down here.
What's the best day you've had in Puerto Vallarta?
Oh, I've had a lot of great days. A lot. I moved down here and I've never been scuba diving before. And I got certified. I'm a certified PADI rescue diver now. And so any day that I spend out on the bay in a boat, good scuba dive. And there's the giant Pacific mantas are here. I went diving and saw a 22-foot Pacific manta.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then, you know, you spend the day on the boat with the beautiful bright blue sky and the mountains and the bay. And I can't even believe I live here some days. I'm so fantastic.
What keeps you in Puerto Vallarta, besides, obviously, now the guidebook writing?
The guidebook writing. I run a little public relations business here. But it's days like that when you're out on the bay or you've gone out into the jungle and just seen some of the natural beauty. And it's breathtaking. It really is. They have these trees. They're called bronze trees. And they're literally bronze. They're bright, bright bronze, and they just glow in the sun, and it's breathtaking. And I came from a very, very beautiful part of the United States, and I'm just in awe of the beauty down here.
Any particular place you'd recommend for people who want to get into the jungle?
Well, there's a lot of like jungle tours. One thing that I'm really keen on doing, and I hope to be able to do for the guidebook, is that there's some horseback rides that actually take you camping in the jungle overnight. And so I'd be really interested in doing one of those. And there's another one that's an entire week of horseback riding that goes into a little silver mining town in the mountains called San Sebastian. And so I'd like to do that sometime, although I don't know if I've got quite the padding I need for that one. I don't know. I think after a couple of days, I might be a little sore. But
well, I understand there's very good food in Puerto Vallarta if you want to prepare some of that padding. So
yeah. That's true. There's no shortage of food in Puerto Vallarta. And also just a short drive up the coast. Even 20 or 30 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta, you'll find some real beautiful jungle you can pull off. And I wouldn't go too deep, but you can take some pictures of the tropical vines and the flowers and the bronze trees.
Most memorable person you've met?
I'm part of the Puerto Vallarta Writers Group, and I met some really interesting authors through that. And one of the women that I met, Jenny McGill, and she has a book called Drama and Diplomacy in a Sultry Mexican Beach Town. And it's about her 20 years as a consular agent, starting in the 80s for Puerto Vallarta, and how she sort of fell into this position and dealing with deadbeat gringos who came down and ran out of money and the people who end up in jail. And it was really interesting. And then the other author that I met was William Reed, recently passed away, but he was in the NSA for the United States government and traveled the world on these like secret submarine missions. And he wrote a book about that. He retired in Puerto Vallarta and lived here with his wife, and they started a publishing company. And he was just an amazing person to get to know.
As we're planning a trip for Puerto Vallarta, clearly we're going to recommend the Moon Guide to Puerto Vallarta. Any other resources that you're using to find your way around or to plan your itinerary?
Probably your best bet is there's a local news website called BanderasNews.com, and they have a lot of articles on things that are happening in Puerto Vallarta. So events and different people and businesses. So you can kind of get a flavor of what's available in Puerto Vallarta, what's going on in Puerto Vallarta from their website. If you want a more personal approach, there's several community bulletin board websites that you can go to and post questions and have locals that they're very helpful in answering what's a good restaurant, or, you know, I'm coming down with my family and we're looking for this. And so they're a really good resource as well.
Okay. Now, you'd mentioned language earlier in terms of being a barrier as you were really looking for an immersive experience. I'm assuming that a tourist who comes down and just speaks English is going to be able to get by because it's a different sort of thing. What's the biggest either mistake that you made because you didn't understand the language, or surprise that you made that happened to you because of language problems?
Well, I did go around telling people repeatedly that I was a desk instead of a writer. So I recently corrected that. Escritoria is a desk, and escritora is writer for, feminine, so I was off on that one, but
You must have gotten some interesting stares. No one corrected you for a long time, or
No, actually, Mexicans are very, very polite, and it's very rare that they will correct your Spanish, no matter how ridiculous and bad that it is. And that's unfortunate because actually, a lot of us want to be corrected because we want our Spanish to get better. But they just smile and, okay, you're a desk. That's wonderful. So, but yeah, you can get by without, I mean, there's been people who have lived here for 20 years and they don't speak hardly any Spanish. So it's definitely, you can get by with it. But I think you'll have a much better experience, even if you just master the polite basics of por favor, gracias, and buenas tardes, and basic greetings and thank you. Be polite.
Okay. Anything else we should know as we wrap this up before we go down to Puerto Vallarta?
It's a really, really great place. The people here, they don't make a lot of money. In Mexico, the daily wage is $4, $4.50, and that's for a 12-hour day. And everybody here works 6 days a week. And so it's really important. I know people want to come down and they want to get a good deal, and Mexico's so cheap, but it's really important to tip well. And a lot of people don't know you're supposed to tip. The baggers at the grocery store are usually school children or the elderly, and they don't make any wages at all. All they make are tips.
Oh,
And
wow, I did not.
the gas station attendants, they make tips. And so a 50 cents here and a 50 cents there will make a real big difference in someone's life when you think about their daily wage.
Okay. If you had to summarize Puerto Vallarta in three words, what three words would you use?
I would say diverse
Okay.
and artistic and gorgeous. There's a lot of really artistic and creative people who come down here, and expatriates and Mexicans alike. And there's so much diversity in the people and the tourists, Europeans, Canadians, Americans. I've met people from all over the world here. And then, of course, it's an absolutely gorgeous place to be.
Okay. One question I forgot to ask, one warning you would give.
I think it's the same with all tourist areas. Be alert. It is a poor country, and so it sometimes, when you leave your purse or your camera someplace, and it's hard for someone
Sure.
to resist taking it. And negotiating with the cab drivers before you get in will keep you from ending up someplace sort of hostage for $20, $30 when it's really a $5 ride. And there's not many of those, but there are a few. And
Just so the usual of write
the
down in
usual.
advance, for instance, what the fare is going to be if you can, or.
You shop around and you're not going to buy top-notch silver on the beach for $5. It's just not going to happen. You're going to end up buying fake silver. So,
Sure.
just using common sense, I think. And Puerto Vallarta is really a very, very safe place, and the police oversee a lot of the tourist areas to make sure that nothing happens to the tourists here. So it's very rare that there's any kind of real crime. It's really just sort of crime of opportunity. So just be alert and take care of your belongings.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about your adopted home here in Puerto Vallarta. Our guest again has been Robin Noel, and next year's copy of the Moon Handbook will be written by Robin. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Chris. I really enjoyed it.
I'm going to skip the internet resources portion of the show today because I couldn't find anything that I thought was interesting enough. I did put up a video last week. You might check out amateurtraveler.com about what I've been doing. It's a special episode of the video edition called Voluntourism in Mexico, and it shows some video from the trip that I did recently down to Tijuana to build houses. So I thought you might be interested in that. In the other item I wanted to bring up from letters that I received this week, I received a letter from, and I'm afraid I don't know how to pronounce this name, it's Polish, Tikjan, who grew up in Warsaw but is now living in London. And I think I said something on the last Amateur Traveler, or one of the last ones, that gave the impression that I was planning on stopping doing the show, and I'm not sure what it would have been, but so I got this letter. It says, I've been listening to your podcasts for over a year now, although not usually being able to listen to it every week. I do my best to listen to it all, mostly while on business or leisure trips myself on the train or commuting to and from the airport. It is the only podcast I am subscribed to and the only one I've listened to on a regular basis. Therefore, I was really scared to hear that you were hesitant about whether to continue your podcast. It would be a great shame if you did. I'm pretty sure there's a number of people who think the same as me. Just from my perspective, listening to your podcast is something I very much listen to. Not only is it very informative, giving variety of trips taken by guests, but also narration, show highlights, and your general attitude is very much of a positive energy. I thank you very much for your letter. I'm not sure what I said. I didn't mean to say that I was planning on stopping doing the show. In fact, quite the opposite. Right now, as I speak, as I record this on a Saturday morning, about an hour from now, I'm doing another interview on Slovenia. And then after that, I will have already recorded interviews on Seoul, Korea, Zimbabwe, San Francisco, India, and Transylvania, as well as the Slovenia ones. So I'm actually recording shows right now almost through the end of November. So I've been putting quite a lot of work into the podcast, and I plan to continue to do that. I'm actually thinking about starting yet another show, which is a video podcast focusing on the tech and the gadgets for travel. A show that I have not yet named and may come out sometime in the next month, probably be an every other week video show is the plan. We'll see whether that's too much. I might have said something about doing advertising in the show. I'm planning on doing more advertising now that I'm independent again, because I put a lot of work into the show, and right now I'm making less than that $4 a day that they make in Mexico on this show, and putting in quite a lot of time. So that may have been something that triggered the comment. I'm not really sure exactly what it was that I said, but I am planning on continuing The Amateur Traveler. I'll certainly let you know if that changes, but that is my plans at this time, and I appreciated the encouraging letter, and I'm sorry for the confusion. And of course, if you want to encourage me to continue The Amateur Traveler, it'd be a great thing to tell your friends, write reviews on iTunes, all those things. Anything that gets me more traffic makes it obviously more encouraging for me to continue to do the show. With that, we'll bring this episode of The Amateur Traveler to a close. Feel free to comment on amateurtraveler.com or send me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening.